and Panhandle will be directed only toward organizing packing shed workers and truck drivers. December 3465, no letdown is seen in strike 17th week. Yesterday, about 60 pickets lined two sides of the vineyard inside the city. Before noon, the pickets were transferred to another area. December 31st, Teamster offer joint effort in farm moves. Einar Mullen said he worked with any legitimate labor organization to organize farm workers, as long as they recognize our jurisdiction. December 31st, January 1st, 1966, freighter sales, $20,000 cargoes hauled back. That was from the longshoreman. Refused to handle a shipment owned by DiGiorgio. January 2nd, 66, Davis will face Grant on panel at the Fresno District of the Methodist Church. Other panelists will be Chris Hartmeyer, Eric Thor, agricultural economist Thomas Lindemann, etc. January 4th of 66, permanent Filipino residents, contractors, crew foremen, and workers who refuse to participate in the strike are considering setting up an organization of their own. January 6th, 66, Wingrove will preside over strike hearing. Judge Wingrove, Kings County, County Injunction, Georgia Injunction. January 6th, groups plan merger will give Delano a strike story. The Citizens for Facts and the Delano Community Citizens League. January 6th, 66, Reverend James Vizard was criticized for his Delano stand by Bishop Bullinger. January 7th, Delano grave strike is pledged by rabbis, Rabbi Stephen Forstein, Richmond, and Western Association of Reform Rabbis. January 8th, 66, Epifanio Camacho, Emmanuel Rosas were jailed by Atlanta police for investigation in the attack on two grape pruners in a field. January 9, 66, strike panel talk brings no accord. That was Caesar and Chris against Alan Grant and Eric Thor. January 13, Bakersfield rabbis opposed religion strike backing. January 16, 66, federal judges ordered Harry Bridges Longshore Union to court for refusing to load grapes from the Delano. January 19, Caesar Chavez has offered proof that some growers and labor contractors are importing workers from as far away as El Paso and Juarez. January 20th, Luis Caratan stated that turkeys donated to the NFW are being used to entice pickets to join the picket line. Farm workers are joining the picket line. December 21st, Harry Bridges says West Coast longshoremen may not refuse to load ships with grapes from the Delano area. Sam Cagle had ruled that the grape strike's picket lines at West Coast docks are not legitimate under the terms of longshore agreement. January 21st, 66, strikers are ousted from rival meeting of the newly organized Kern Tulare Independent Farm Workers. Doug Adair, Jane O'Hara, and Peggy McGoolin agreed to go outside when the police advised them it was a private meeting. January 26, 66, grape boycott picketing has started in 46 U.S. cities. 46 cities? Hey. This announcement was made by Reverend James Drake. January 26, 66, NFWA charges aid is denied workers. The 40-page report prepared by Sal Gonzalez and Ida Casino accusing Tulare County Welfare Office of discrimination against the farm workers. January 27th, state lifts ban on Delano grape pruner referrals. January 28th of 66, DiGiorgio sues ILWU asking damages of more than $200,000. January 29th, 1966, funeral will be held for NFWA aide Derones. January 29th, 66, the Giorgio picket ban is lifted by Superior Judge Wingrove of Kings County. Now, because the Board of Supervisors in Tulare County didn't take any action on the request, February 2nd, a federal judge has ordered longshoremen to load grapes. February 2nd, migrant ministries will be reviewed by the State Council of Churches. February 3rd, migrant ministry roll and strike is hit by Episcopalian Diocese in San Joaquin. February 4th, union sign up is claimed. Cross that, strike that one. February 4th, 66, Steve Allen visits picket lines at Delano Ranches. February 4th, 66, grape strike, auto assailant gets jail term. That was Alfonso Panera. Must serve 6 months in the county jail for running down three Southern Tulare County growers, John Zaninovich, Herman Nelson, and Harold Nelson. February 5th, Steve Allen walks Kern grape picket lines. February 7th, 66, Delano Star stores are target for demonstrators. According to Tony Mendes, People's Market and Ace Liquor Store agreed to remove the products from the shelves. But Douglas McFarland of the Stardust Liquor Store refused to cooperate. February 9th, 66, Alabama Rights Aid joins Delano Action. Stokely Carmichael and Snick has arrived here to meet with Cesar Chavez. Union officials have rented an office for Reverend James Drake and boycott headquarters and also for clinic facilities under Peggy McGivern. Offices for Attorney Hoffman have been located on Albany Street. February 11th, ministers and laymen of Los Angeles Presbytery have voted 143 to 132 against supporting the grape strike. February 14th to 66, field workers get gift of shortwave radio unit by Cornelius Hall on behalf of the San Francisco Labor Council. February 15th, fight erupts at picketed Delano Liquor Store. That's the Stardust incident. February 15th, anti-farm strike unit seeks recruits, the Kern Tulare Independent Farm Workers. February 24th, 66, Senate body will study grape strike. Chairman Harrison said the subcommittee expects to invite testimony from workers and growers and citizens. February 26, 66, Delano strike gets support from Reed College in Portland, students up there. March 4th, 66, grape strike probe hearings are set by Senate committee, that's the Harrison committee, for March 14th. March 9th, Georgia wins a round against the International Longshoremen Warehouseman. March 12, 66, Chavez urges state act on farm labor. He said he's seeking farm labor coverage by Social Security, unemployment insurance, minimum wage laws, and bargaining provisions. March 14, 1966, senators begin probe. Farm unionist warns drive will continue. U.S. Senate subcommittee began 3 days of hearings on the controversial subject of agricultural labor. William Kircher was there. Lead-off witness. March 15th, Murphy Williams expressed shock at Linnell labor camp. Worst public housing I've ever seen, said Williams. March 16th of 66, 70 will join Delano's strike march to Capitol. 70 farm workers and their wives will set out from here tomorrow, that's the 17th, on a 300-mile march to Sacramento, dramatize the strike at Northern Kern and Southern Tulare grape growers. Strike leaders say the march will combine the Spanish tradition of the religious pilgrimage, Peregrinación, with a protest against farm labor conditions. March 17th, Bishop Donahue says church backs farm unions. Supports the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Migrant Labor Proposals. And in the same article, Kern County Sheriff Leroy Gallion said some striking pickets arrested, they had some striking pickets arrested to save them from getting their hearts cut out, in quotes, by strike-breaking workers in the vineyards. March 17th, 66. Grape strikers start march to Sacramento. Chavez said the first stop would be in Ducor. Other overnight stops, Lindsay, Farmersville, Visalia, Cutler, Parlier, Malaga, Highway City, Madera, Chowchilla, Merced, Livingston, Turlock, Modesto, Manteca, Stockton, and Lodi. In Lodi and Sacramento. March 18th, 66, route dispute delays grape striker protest. That was a route through Delano. March 18th, next marcher's next stop is Porterville, where they'll have a potluck dinner in Porterville's Murray Park tonight. March 1966, Catholic aides join march of grape strikers. Bishop McGuckin said that church officials were being sent to join the march as an expression of further support for the Delano farm laborers' right to organize a union. It will be Reverend Boyle, John DeLurie, Edward Lopez. March 20th, union sends food wagon with march. Al Green announced the organization will provide a chuck wagon to accompany the marchers. March 21st, church-lauded protest march nears Visalia. Truck from Lindsay to Farmersville, and participants increased to 250, three times the size of the group that left Delano on Friday. The marchers spent the night in homes around Farmersville. Some quartered the social hall of Sacred Heart Catholic Church. March 22nd, Chavez says new strike committees dot route of protest march. Chavez, limping and using a cane, said we are forming strike committees in every town we stop in. We shall need many strikes, if need be a general strike, to call attention to our case and get results. That's a Ron Taylor article. March 24th, Brown plans to meet marchers en route. March 24th, farm workers end first week of Capitol Trek at the Catholic Recreation Hall on Tuolumne Street in Fresno. March 24th, blister-plagued workers march on. March 25th, 66. Who are the troops marching behind Cesar Chavez and other leaders of the NFWA? What is the atmosphere among the marchers? Find out the B-Center reporter to spend a day in the march column. Here is her story by Walt Porter. March 25th, they got to Fresno. The marchers did a midday meal in Redding Park. They had a big rally of over 1,000 people in the Azteca Theater. Heard the plan of Delano. Citizens, March 26, 66, strike facts group elects John Mulligan. That's Citizens for Facts. March 26, farm worker trek moves on to Madera. March 28, marchers reach Chowchilla, take day off to rest feet. Today there's to be a special dinner for them, special chicken dinner for them in Madera, in Merced. March 29th, farm march starts again after day off to arrive this afternoon in Merced. In Chowchilla, the pastor Bruno Brzezinski put it to a vote before his congregation to let the strikers stay there. The vote by ballot was 2-1 in favor of allowing such use. March 30th, farm workers leave Merced on long hike. And last night they addressed a large crowd at the Club Mercedes. March 31st, Chief of Police Smith headed a parade of farm workers through Livingston late today. Served dinner at the Veterans Memorial last night. April 1st of 66, Nuns March with Great Stripe Group. Two nuns joined the march yesterday. Sister Camilla and Sister Marietta of Mount Alverno College in Redwood City. April 1st, FSC Student Faculty Group support strike. April 2nd, Governor Brown said, told picketing students at Fresno State, we'll work this thing out. It's not easy to find this who to negotiate with. April 2nd, the National Council of Churches has placed full support 6 months old strike in California. And the Boston Gray Party was pulled off in Boston. South and South. April 4th, Gray March is in final week in Stockton. April 4th, Brown asked Chavez to Capitol parley on April 11th, the day after they conclude their march. April 5th, Braden State Assemblyman joins the marchers in Stockton. April 6th, Shenley OK's farm union negotiations. Agreed to recognize the National Farm Workers Association bargaining representatives, trade figures in Plano. April 6th, Hagen canvasses growers, workers on grape strike, petitions, with questionnaires. April 7th, DiGiorgio asks vote of farm workers on union. April 7th, Pitts hails NFWA victory. April 8th, DiGiorgio proposal gets conditional okay from Chavez. April 8th, strikers buoyed by victories near Capitol Hood in Sacramento County. April 9th, the Ron Taylor story, Chavez. Delano will be organizing battleground. April 9th, strike for pilgrimage near his Capitol gates. April 10th, growers charge Shenley sellout. April 10th, Capitol rally today will end strikers' march. April 25th, 66, 25-day march from Delano's grape fields to the steps of the Capitol is over for 70 striking grape pickers. April 12th, Teamsters support NFWA boycott. That's against the Georgia Corporation, whose offer for a settlement of the long grape strike has been rejected by NFWA. April 12th, Christian Brothers of California offered to negotiate with the National Farm Workers on a possible contract for vineyard workers. April 13th, Union's answer is awaited by Thomas Nicolopoulos, head of the State Conciliation Service, on the DiGiorgio offer. April 14th, Governor Brown has offered general support for goals of striking farm workers, but added that legislature must postpone action on their demands until next year. April 14th, NFWA begins picketing huge DiGiorgio Ranch, Sierra Vista. April 15th, DiGiorgio Union Parley is called by Nicolopoulos. April 16th, plans of NFWA will be told at Delano rally following a religious march and mass. The mass will be a means of giving thanks for the historic victory recently won by the workers in their struggle for social injustice at Luis Valdez. April 17th, Chavez rejects strike parley bid because of the expected presence of the current Tulare Independent Farm Workers Association. April 18th, Chavez plans hiring hall for Delano farm workers. April 18th, open-air mass is called off after Delano protest, and pickets appeared across the street from where the mass is going to be held. April 21st, pickets charge gun threat by ranch aide. That was the Ida Cousineau deal out there when Dick Meyer threw it at Brown. April 25th, AFL-CIO will back farm strike boycott. William Kircher made the announcement. April 22nd, the Georgia and NFWA resume broken off negotiations. The first one, conference was held between Caesar and NFWA people and the Georgia people on Wednesday in Fresno was broken off when word was received a flare-up between the pickets and security guards at Sierra Vista. April 23rd, Lynch orders probe of NFWA clash charges. April 23rd, two clergymen who work closely with farm workers in Fresno County suggested small growers band together in economic defense against big growers. April 26th, Georgia seeks vote showdown in Delano. We can't wait, Sanborn said. We want to press for some action. We're asking the Conciliation Service to bring this to a prompt conclusion. April 27th, Chavez AFL-CIO meeting produces merger speculation. Meeting yesterday in Bakersfield with William Kircher. April 28th, grape strike meetings end in stalemate. April 29th, Father Keith Kenny blasted Brown for his absence at the Trex End. May 2nd, the Georgia strikers sue for $640,000 because of the altercation at the Sierra Vista Ranch. May 6th, AFL-CIO boycotts the Georgia products. May 6th, the Georgia NFWA set Tuesday parley. May 8th, the Georgia goods boycott bring the rest of four in Berkeley when some people try to shop in there and were arrested. May 10th, Burns anti-red unit probes subversives, in quotes, and strike at Delano. May 10th, the Georgia Farm Union schedule Fresno meeting. May 12th, Lynch reveals on Delano strike probe. May 13th, three Fresno stores join boycott of the Georgia foods, according to Rodney Freeland. May 14th, the drive to enlist the support of students from various universities is underway, and some 500 of the strike in Delano before Bahamas. At any rate, it's the summer project put on by Jean Batelier. May 16th, Teamsters enter farm organizing. NFWA leaflets put out Saturday advised workers not to sign with the Teamsters, which the NFWA claims never has had dealings with farm workers, only truck drivers and canneries. May 17th of 66, Chavez breaks off the Georgia talks after workers fired. That was Mrs. Ophelia Diaz. May 19th, Chavez Teamster officials will meet in Burlingame tomorrow. Article in the current issue of the Teamsters Union National Magazine says Chavez credits Goldberger with aiding in obtaining the NFWA recognition by Schenley Industries. May 19th, auto workers parley gives Chavez ovation in Los Angeles. And he said the Yellow Dog contract and the blacklist are to you a dirty page in the history of labor. But to us, they are as modern as a supersonic plane. May 19th, counter boycott is urged by Farm Bureau and strike. May 20th, 66, NFWA denies plan to merge with Teamsters. May 21st, farm workers, Teamsters are mum on parley. That was the one that Bridges and Goldblatt attended in Burlingame. May 23rd, Farm Bureau urged its 1.5 million members not to patronize stores which remove products from their shelves under labor union pressure. May 24th, Hoffa and ILWU backs Teamster Drive to organize farm help. That's another Ron Taylor story. May 25th, the 66 Teamsters NFWA talks are scheduled for June 1st. May 27th, 66 fruitful talks are seen for NFWA Schenley. Negotiators for Schenley and the NFWA sat down here for talks which could result in striking grape workers' first labor contract. May 31st of 66, Teamsters Claim 8. Contracts with growers in Merced area. Now we begin a new day in the library of the offices of the Fresno Bee. We start with June 1st, 1966. Hartmeyer defends labor role of migrant ministry. And he talks about the fact that NFWA is not conducting a secondary boycott against DiGiorgio, that all they're doing is picketing a couple of its products, that Saul Alinsky is not a communist, nor is Cesar Chavez. The church where he's speaking is in Hanford, and their budget has been held up because there's divided opinion as to the church's regular contribution to the migrant ministry. Hartmeyer says Delano is a much healthier community than many others in the country because at least in Delano the problem's out in the open, whereas in other places it's hidden and therefore communities are sicker. I wonder, June 1st, 66, DiGiorgio's suit affidavits are filed by NFWA. Alex Hoffman filed 21 affidavits Superior Court, alleging harassment of NFWA members by the Georgia Corporation. Also, the DiGiorgio fired some of its employees for joining NFWA. This is Judge Lynn Ginsburg's court. June 1st, 66, Sheriff reports strike patrol costs $4,826 to Larry County taxpayers. That was just during April of 66. Sheriff Sandy Robinson is assigned one sergeant and five patrolmen to the strike area on a full-time basis. Sheriff says between 500 and 2,000 sympathizers will come to Tulare County to help in the NFWA program. Overtime for the regularly assigned officers during April was $1,662. The rest was for extra officers. June 2nd, 66, Teamsters, Chavez split on organizing. It's a meeting in Modesto, which broke up only 10 minutes after the Teamsters apparently told the protesting Chavez they are organizing farm workers whether NFWA likes it or not. Wendell Kaiser, local 386 of the Teamsters, said that NFWA don't like our signing up farm workers, but we're organizing them, and that's that. The meeting started at 11:50 and broke up at noon. Chavez and four-member delegation hurried out of the Teamsters building and stopped on the lawn for 20 minutes to talk with Lou Goldblatt, the longshoreman. Then Chavez and his aides climbed into a dusty compact station wagon and headed back for Delano. James Smith, Jack Goldberger, Pete Andrade. NFWA delegation was Chavez, Huerta, Padilla, Jim Padilla, and John Drake. Chavez's face remained expressionless until he was asked to pose for a picture with Mock following the meeting, and then he vehemently refused. June 3rd, 66, color motion picture and tape recording said to be taken to the Georgia Corporation farm, highlighted the show. A show cause hearing for preliminary injunction here in Judge Ginsburg's court. Pictures showed a large number of jeering pickets. Conner said there'd been no testimony presented to indicate that NFWA recruitment has fallen off since the temporary restraining order. Therefore, communications between the union and the workers has not dropped off, he said. To Larry Third of 66, the Attorney General's office has cleared the Tulare County District Attorney of charges by the union that he acted improperly in handling the incidents arising out of the grape strike, particularly that one involving Ida Cousineau. June 3rd, grape strikers get backing of Ohio AFL-CIO. Kircher was there. June 7th of 66, more pay is okayed for striking. Police Sheriff Randy Robinson has given an okay to transfer $4,800 to pay deputy sheriffs for overtime. This brings nearly $30,000 the county's cost in manpower to police the grape strike. June 8th, 66, the Teamster representative Moan speaks for Hoff announced the Teamsters were foregoing organization of DiGiorgio. Same time, Kaiser said he hadn't heard anything about this and was going to go ahead and organize the Borrego Ranch. June 9th, in a Ron Taylor story, Hoffa, in a telephone interview, said that we are going to pull out of the DiGiorgio controversy, but we're going to continue to organize farm workers. June 10th, Mexican Baptist Church in Del Rey made its hall available for the NFWA course there. Students. June 10th, the 66 Texas Union votes link up with NFWA. Dolores Huerta has been in the areas. June 10th, the growers wrap Catholic clergy aid to NFWA, and that was also California growers president Carl Samuelson wrapped the church for pressuring the Teamsters into withdrawing from DiGiorgio. June 11th, 66, NFWA DiGiorgio may resume negotiations. Robert Hamm said that while he'll permit the Teamsters to carry on an authorization check cart deal in Borrego, you can't do that with the Delano situation because the Delano workers have been harassed by the union into signing authorization cards. June 12th, the Reverend Boyle explained the action of the church leaders in backing the union, that principles of social justice be applied in labor management relations, and he'd sent out letters to a number of the wine-producing grape-connected industries. June 13th, Representative Henry Gonzalez praises Chavez and Brown. June 13th, Shenley and NFWA will discuss PAC very soon, and Chavez challenged Dick Meyer to a debate in front of the Sierra Vista ranch workers on the issues of the strike. He said, and this should take place in the baseball park on the company's property, would lay the groundwork for collecting bargaining. The company had not allowed union representation on the ranch to present their side of the issue. June 14th, Shenley NFWA agreement is expected soon. Both sides express a willingness to talk, but neither will initiate action. June 14th, the church group board urges boycott support. Directors ask the congregations of the Northern California Council of Churches ask the congregations to be selective in their purchase and avoid purchase of the Georgia products and products of S&W Food and Tree Suite, subsidiaries of the corporation. June 15, 66, Sheriff Sandy Robinson says it costs $7,490 to patrol the strike-bound southern Tulare County vineyards. June 16th, the DiGiorgio workers invite the Teamsters. Over 400 DiGiorgio workers signed petitions asking the Teamsters to please come back. Mock said, we had the people and we did pull out because of pressure from the church. As Huerta said, NFWA is aware of the petitions, said the foremen were telling the workers that the Teamsters would get them $2 an hour. Lariat Leong announces that we're working on a merger, but we probably will not know anything definite for several weeks. Dolores said that she knew nothing about it. Bishop Willinger on June 17th urges, quote, free vote by grape workers. He issued a press release after meeting with Moan. Moan said, I don't quarrel with this position. I think these workers should be able to say who will represent them. That's basic. Willinger said that the election must be held in a neutral setting away from the premises of the farm or the union organizing hall. June 17th to 66. Superior Court Judge Leonard Ginsburg denied the move by Georgia Corporation and dissolved a temporary restraining order issued by Judge Locke on May 20th. The corporation had contended that there were instances of hundreds of pickets congregated at one place, but at the hearing was brought out that there are 206 recognized entrances to the ranch along 11 miles. Therefore, the plaintiff admits that 1,200 pickets would not be unreasonable. By restraining order, the NFWA and AWOC have been limited to 6 pickets at one specific place. To profanity, the judge, as charged by the Georgia judge, said the presence of law officers and the dearth of either arrests or complaints is evidence of minimal offenses in this regard. Any such offenses complained of are properly triable in the local justice court. Also said certain acts of violence by the company, which were undenied in the evidence. Under the clean hands doctrine of equity, it appears that plaintiff itself has been guilty of improper conduct in connection with the controversy at hand, and this presently uncontradicted evidence is further reason why the court should deny relief at this time. The weight of the evidence is that former employees who quit the Giorgio did so not because of intimidation by defendants, but because of pressure by the plaintiff. He noted that the company labor force was increased from 350 employees to 650 within the 6 weeks preceding the hearing. There's nothing shown indicating it was an inadequate force, and no evidence that more workers had not or could not be brought in without hindrance by defendants. He said that the power of the court to issue preliminary injunctions is an extraordinary power and should be exercised with great caution and only where it appears that a sufficient cause of hasty action exists, such as irreparable damages, which had not been shown. June 18th, Einar Mohn said that Hoffa will decide the grape strike policy for the Teamsters when he takes the brochure back to him in Miami. The Fresno Farm Bureau lauded the bishop's stand on the same date. June 21st, the charges against the 44 pickets arrested in Delano 8 months ago were dropped by Municipal Judge Ferguson. Lack of evidence was the basis. June 21st, the Farm Union Shenley talks resume in L.A. NFWA has charged the Teamsters' petitions were circulated by the Georgia foreman. Robert Hamm emphatically denied the petitions were sponsored by the company or the foreman. June 22nd, 66. The Georgia Corporation today announced elections will be held Friday for Delano and Borrego Springs employees to determine whether they want to be represented by union, and if so, which ones. Include the names AWOC, NFWA, International Brotherhood of Teamsters, or by another union or no union. This election follows a statement by Willinger calling for free election. Georgia said that the company has attempted to reach agreement with Chavez, but he's rejected all our suggestions, including the good office of the State Conciliation Service to supervise elections. Elections will be held from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Joe Vista Railroad Station near Sierra Vista Ranch, from 7 a.m. until noon in Borrego Elementary School. Both locations, he pointed out, are off the company's property, as suggested by Bishop Willinger. He said that Reverend Roger Mahoney, diocesan director of Catholic Charities and Social Service, will be one of the election observers. He'll be supervised by Touche, Ross, Bailey, and Smart, certified public accountants. Dr. Grady Mullinex, director of Fresno State's College Institute of Industrial Relations, has been retained by the firm as a consultant. Teamster spokesman said the Teamsters are not opposing the election because it gives the workers a means of expressing their views. However, since we have nothing to do with the arrangements nor with the manner in which the election is to be conducted, we cannot at this time consider it other than an informational election. Cesar Chavez, reacting angrily to the Giorgio announcement, "It is holding its own election," said it's the most vicious and unprincipled action ever taken by industry in modern times. Chavez informed by telegram the corporation had set Friday for the election, said the NFWA and DiGiorgio met early this week and agreed to election procedures on Borrego, but no agreement had been reached on Delano. Chavez charged the corporation broke its word to the NFWA and is arbitrarily establishing the recognition proceedings for this Friday on Delano Sierra Vista Ranch. Action by the company said it was unilateral and done without the consent of any of the unions the company plans to include on the list. Chavez said if the NFWA and DiGiorgio couldn't come to election procedure agreement on Sierra Vista because the company would not agree to allow striking NFWA members to vote, even though they had worked for the company prior to going out on strike. Dolores Huerta and William Kircher crashed the San Francisco news conference as DiGiorgio completed his announcement of the election. They termed the proposal phony, told the newsmen and NFWA and AWOC would go to court if necessary to stop Giorgio from placing their names on the ballot. Hamm said the company would go ahead with the elections regardless of NFWA and AWOC. Kircher and Huerta claimed the election was organized in bad faith, said we have as late as last night been negotiating the conditions under which an election might be held. Farm Bureau President Norman Fries today reported that Bishop Willinger's call for free elections has received the endorsement of Sisk and Harlan Hagen. June 22nd of 66, Shenley Industries and NFWA have reached an agreement on a year's contract that boosts all Shenley Delano vineyard workers' pay 35 cents an hour. Homer Martin, secretary manager of the Tulare Kings Employers Council of Visalia, hit at the contract as a brutal and cynical piece of skullduggery. It gives the workman absolutely nothing except the right to be fired if he can't make $1.70, because all of it is tied to a piecework. June 23rd, strike students tour Delano ranches after picketing. June 23rd of 66, unions seek to halt farm strike vote. If DiGiorgio Union recognition election is held tomorrow. It may contain only the names of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters because the AFL agriculture workers and NFWA are seeking to remove their names from the ballots. Seeking injunctive relief in San Francisco Superior Court to block the election or at least get their names removed as willing participants. Teamsters are taking a wait-and-see attitude. Officials of NFWA and AWOC said they are not participating in this fraudulent, vicious, and unprincipled election. The net result will be balloting by the Georgia workers on whether or not they want the Teamsters Union to represent them. Chavez said NFWA is the only union that has been striking to Georgia. We've been striking there for 9 months, and the issues are ones that we raised. Our strike and our boycott, the fact AFL-CIO and other unions, including Teamsters, have supported us, is proof that we're the only union involved. Chavez contends the Georgia officials, headed by Robert DiGiorgio, broke the company's agreement to a recognition election at Borrego June 29th and broke an agreement not to discuss recent negotiations and negotiating meetings in public. Tellers charges that the election officials appointed are, quote, not unbiased, end quote. June 25th, 66, DiGiorgio voters ask Teamster representation. Field workers at the Georgia Sierra Vista, Borrego Springs Ranch voted heavily in favor of the Teamsters Union. Ballots were cast by 385 workers, about 53% of the 732 eligible, and 281 of them wrote in the name of the Teamsters Union. There were no names printed on the ballots. 60 workers voted against any union representation. Robert DiGiorgio said as a result, the Teamsters will be invited to enter contract negotiations. Chavez said that the election was a fraud and a travesty and an insult to the decent farm workers, and that the boycott will be intensified. Possibility of a boycott against the Bank of America, which has five DiGiorgio directors on its board of directors. Between 300 and 400 NFWA supporters formed a picket line in front of a polling place, small railroad station at Road 176 and Avenue 4, shouting at the workers not to vote as the buses brought them in from the fields. The buses pulled up, some of the occupants got out and some went in and voted, but many turned around and returned to the buses. Those who entered were loudly booed by the pickets. Delora Huerta said that Father John Desmond of Julian, San Diego County, who acted as an observer at Borrego, had not signed the affidavit attesting that it was a fair election. The election was going to be investigated, if not by the court, by some other means. In June 27th, Chavez flies to vote probe talk with governor. Discussed possible state investigation of Friday's jurisdictional election. Dolores said that he flew from Borrego Springs, or observed the election. He was accompanied by MAPA representatives. Dolores said an all-out effort to pull the farm workers out of the fields of Borrego was expected to get underway today. NFWA claimed that the failure of almost half of the eligible voters to cast ballots was a victory for the union, as they had through leaflets and from the picket line urged the workers. DiGiorgio said that they didn't vote because they were afraid that the NFWA supporters were taking down their names and photographing them. June 28th, Governor Brown promised union leader Chavez he will name a person of national promise to look into Friday's DiGiorgio Corporation union representation election. During a news conference, Chavez, dressed in open-necked olive-shirted, short-sleeved shirt, dungarees, and tennis shoes, sat quietly by the governor as Brown told reporters, "We must remember that I represent all the people, farmers, consumers, big corporations, little, and so forth." He said the request by MAPA to investigate the election seems to be fair. Brown disclosed that he had already asked Robert DiGiorgio to postpone the election. He also said he had talked to Moan, who said the Teamsters want to organize field workers to protect the jobs of cannery workers and who are already members of the union. Chavez said a suit will be filed to prevent DiGiorgio and the Teamsters from signing a contract. Chavez was called for investigation by Senator Harrison Williams and Robert Kennedy. Williams has said his Senate Labor Committee subcommittee may hold a hearing on the dispute. June 29th, AFL-CIO and the Independent National Farm Workers Union filed suit yesterday in San Francisco Superior Court, charging the corporation intimidated its workers, ordered them to vote, told them how to vote, and otherwise infringed on their rights, and the workers to select their own collective borrowing agent under the state's labor laws. And Borg said that the suit is in no way a complaint against the Teamsters. It's entirely an undertaking of DiGiorgio. The Interfaith Committee for Just Farm Labor Management Relations in San Francisco said it had testimony from workers in Delano that the election was fraudulent. The 13 clergymen wired Robert DiGiorgio to join them in seeking an investigation. This was based on what the clergymen had seen and the testimony they had heard in Delano when they made the investigation. Reverend Thomas McCullough, Rabbi Saul Berman of Berkeley. that the election included summer help, secretaries, plumbers, cooks, and relatives of DiGiorgio supervisory personnel. Force was used, in some cases, to line up votes for the Teamsters. June 29th, Mrs. Chavez says NFWA funds were stolen from metal box, $219. June 29th, the State Senate Fact-Finding Committee on Agriculture has asked Brown to keep hands off the Delano strike and schedule its own hearing for July 19, 2021. This was Senator Vernon Sturgeon of San Luis Obispo County. However, the governor immediately announced Ronald Houghton has been appointed to investigate the disputed election. June 30th, the 66, Chavez and 11 others are arrested in San Diego. Or trespass. When Chavez, James Drake, and the rest accompanied the workers back to get their clothes, they were turned away by the Georgia guards, put under citizen's arrest. July 1st, 66, Chavez, free on bail, says he was chained on the 90-mile ride by truck to the jail. July 1st of 66, women protest NFWA intimidation. These are old-time workers at the Georgia Ranch. Claimed that the recent election was legitimate. These women send Governor Brown and two U.S. senators telegrams demanding their rights as American citizens be considered. Refers to a letter, this is July 4th, 1966, Boycott 8, says the Georgia vote was fraud. That's Rodney Freeland and Ritzko. At a meeting of the Democrats, and he refers to Chavez's letter, speaking of pressure tactics, intimidation, workers forced off the buses at Borrego physically. Women employees were used to pressure male workers to vote through the use of sexual enticements. July 1st, Houghton starts Delano vote probe. July 2nd, several shots fired into an occupied automobile of staff member in front of the farm workers' office, shattering windows and denting a fender. Same time, a group protesting the reprimand of a priest for his activity in the strike began a prayer in the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, pledging to remain until Bishop Bell presents himself to receive its petition of grievances. California Labor Commission announced it will investigate the arrest of Chavez and eight strikers at Delano. Pray-in was regarding the reprimand of Reverend Eugene Lucas. He ordered Lucas to cease picketing stores selling to Georgia Press. July 3rd, NFWA will aid 48-mile march of Texas strikers. July 4th, the Reverend Salandini says an anonymous phone caller told his widowed mother he would be shot if he returns to Borrego Springs. Yet, despite the threat, I'll be back on the picket line on my day off. July 6th, NFWA seeks union vote for peach pickers in Union and Sutter counties under the Georgia properties. Clive Knoll says we're hopeful arrangements can be made for recognition. This will include other growers, too, according to Knoll. Houghton, on July 7th, talks with Roger Mahoney. July 7th, Houghton talks with election observer priest Mahoney. It's a repetition. He's in Delano now. He says my dream would be to come up with something acceptable to the concerned parties themselves. July 8th, Chavez and others plead innocent to trespassing, free on $110 bail each. July 8th, the state employment director, T-Berg, says the strike is still on at DiGiorgio. July 9th, Delanans protest San Francisco Huelga resolution. Board of Supervisors have declared today Huelga Day in the Bay Area. The resolution was made in conjunction with plans for a parade and rally in San Francisco today. July 9th, Market Street parade backs farm strike. Supporters scheduled to scream up Market Street today, and marchers were led by Cesar Chavez. July 1st, NFLA vote in Yuba is fought by Teamsters. That's Kaiser trying to block a vote in Yuba Sutter counties. July 11th, 3,000 take part in NFW San Francisco parade. Chavez appealed for continued contributions of food and money for the strikers. When we crack DiGiorgio, that'll be the beginning of a farm workers' union. Until we do, we really don't have a union, he said. July 12th, Chamber of Commerce, Delano wraps SF resolution backing NFWA. Kern Tulare Independent Farm Workers on July 13th also wrap
SF support. July 13th, Senator Stern said today that the State Senate Fact-Finding Committee on Agriculture hearings in Delano Wednesday and Tuesday next week will determine if farm labor legislation should be enacted and go into questions concerning the Shindle Corporation's agreement with the NFWA. July 13th, labor contractors may vote to affiliate with the Teamsters. July 14th, Houghton today, after a two-day fact-finding tour, recommended that a new election be held. Houghton's proposal would set up two units, one for field workers, one for other help in the big ranches. July 15th to 66, NFWA and DiGiorgio agree on a new election. Still waiting to hear from the Teamsters. July 16th, NFWA calls off boycotting and picketing of DiGiorgio farm products as a result of the company's agreement to hold a second election. The Teamsters also joined today to accept the new election. Tickets left DiGiorgio and went over to Bianco. International Inter-American Regional Labor Organization, ORIT, sent a wire to Chavez, offered to send a delegation to aid him. July 17th, Arred and others get Delano strike hearing subpoenas. Nikki Lima, communist, and others, including Alinsky, get subpoenas to appear before the three-day Senate fact-finding committee in agriculture in Delano. July 19th, Chavez charged 100 employees of Georgia being sent back to El Paso without money for return transportation. Chavez, at a meeting at the Sierra Vista Ranch, urged a number of the workers to stay in the area and said he'd provide jobs and housing. Resident workers of the Giorgio, in a letter to Brown, asked that the June 24th election be recognized as final. The letter bears the signature of 40 employees. Delano mayor wraps NFWA as hearing opens as being irresponsible. July 19th, Chavez protests subpoena of Lima as a red-baiting and union-busting maneuver. Chavez sent a letter to DiGiorgio demanding a representational election at Arvin and Yuba City. At the Senate fact-finding hearing, a group of Kern Tulare Independent Farm Workers Association say they don't want any union. Mrs. Shirley Fetelvero, NFWA office opened in Fresno under Bert Liang. Bert Corona is slated to testify at the fact-finding hearing. Lima denied ever having been in Delano before or of having any dealings with strike leaders. He declared the hearings a crude attempt to influence the rescheduled Georgia Corporation election. Trade said communism has no place in these hearings, nothing to do with the issues, problems of injustice and farm worker here already. Sturgeon said that the subject of communism was dead in this hearing after they heard Lima. DiGiorgio said that the elections may be extended to their other three ranches. Arrowitz said that any association which includes labor contractors as members is not a bona fide labor union. Connor said he reached the same conclusion months ago. July 21st, 66, James Woolsey, Vice President Shinley, told why they recognized NFWA, gave the details. He said that the threat of serious damage to our business on a nationwide scale and reprisals presented a threat of serious damage to our business on a nationwide scale. These were the key factors in recognizing the NFWA. He said Shinley is quite satisfied with the relations with NFWA. DiGiorgio told the committee the company's 4,000 acres here at Vista Ranch will be sold within the next 2 years by the joint effort of the DiGiorgio and U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. According to a contract which required the sale after 10 years of use of Central Valley's project water of all Sierra Vista land over the 160-acre limitation. July 22nd, 66, Chavez says there should be an immediate union representation election among all of California's 250,000 agricultural workers. This while he was testifying at the last session of the fact-finding hearing. He warned that workers all over the state are filled with unrest and said any resulting strikes may not be nonviolent, as the Delano grape strike has been called for the statewide election supervised by the American Arbitration Agency. Bishop Donahue told told the committee that the Catholic Church must stand behind workers in their right to organize and join the union they want to represent them. July 22nd, Alinsky denies role in Delano grape strike. I am not now, nor have ever been, a member of the John Birch Society, the Minutemen, of the Georgia Corporation, of the Communist Party. And anyone making such a report is not only an unmitigated liar, he's a fool as well. July 22nd, strike bias charges made by Abatia against police captain Espinosa and city councilman Frank Herrera. He tells the history of the Espinosa backing by CSO and Caesar and so on. July 23rd, trespassing trial is set for Chavez and clergy. July 23rd, Senator Sturgeon sees farm labor law by 1967. Amon says the Teamsters will open an office in Delano Monday with a staff of from 4 to 5. According to election conditions established by Houghton, workers employed by DiGiorgio for 15 days or more, any time between September 20th of 65 and August 15th of 66, will be eligible to vote. July 24th, Yuba Center growers study NFWA election. July 25th, Mrs. Dolores Padilla, Gilbert Padilla, and Mrs. Irene Chandler and Magdaleno Botello were arrested on DiGiorgio land in Marysville. July 25th, Espinosa, Herrera deny anti-strike roadshow. July 27th, Chavez trial on trespassing charge starts. July 27th, food caravan will retrace NFWA march. July 28th, NFWA and AWOC will be merged. Chavez and Kircher made the announcement. This came immediately after Chavez, Kircher, and others with Ronald Houghton just concluded a three-day series of meetings with the Georgia officials on the rules and regulations to govern the election. Chavez is still insisting on elections at the Arvin Ranch and the Marysville Yuba County Ranch. He called off the strike and the boycott out in all the Georgia products. July 28th, the 66th jury selection continues in Chavez trial. July 29th, jury is chosen for Chavez trespass trial. July 29th, Ramon bitterly criticized the merger of AFL-CIO Agricultural Committee with and the National Farm Workers called it a desperate attempt on the part of AFL-CIO to revive its faltering AWOC at the expense of the NFWA. Caesar said in reply that the Teamsters came in behind his union in attempting to organize farm workers. July 30, arraignment of union organizers in Marysville is postponed. August 1st of 66, NFWA resumes picketing in Delano at Bianco. August 2nd, Gines resigns from AWOC, disagrees with Hitleon on civil rights issues. August 3rd, final arguments begin in Chavez trespass trial. August 3rd, merger fiesta is planned by strikers. August 3rd, Teamsters are urged to quit the Georgia vote by Eduardo Quevedo of MAPA. August 4th, Teamsters refuse to pull out from DiGiorgio. August 4th, NFWA leader and two clergymen, Hartmeyer and Salandini, convict. August 5th, caravan for strike backers schedule stops. August 7th, NFWA organizers plead innocent to trespass charges. That's in Marysville. August 8th, Hagen presents results of Delano study showing that 60% of the workers don't want unions. August 8th, rally marks merger of farm unions at the Memorial Park. 600 people came out. Chavez said that the NFWA will bury the Teamster Union. August 14th, DiGiorgio favors Teamsters in vote. Myers came out with a letter to all of his employers urging them to vote for the Teamsters as being the only responsible group. Sit down and negotiate in a reasonable manner with the Teamsters. And Grammy accuses Kircher of sounding as though they were statements he made made in the convention 35 instead of 66. It should be remembered that the time is long past when a union depicted employer interested only in profit. Chavez
claims the Teamsters are a company union. That's August 15th. Amon in August 16th vows all out farm drive. He paid tribute to Chavez as deserving credit for arousing interest in the plight of the farm worker, including the Teamsters, who have over the years been too complacent about some of these tremendous social problems in our own backyard. August 18th, Teamsters plan farm worker fiesta in Delano. That's at Cecil Avenue Park. As the movie television personalities boxing and exhibitions, clowns and strolling musical groups, as well as food and refreshments. August 20th, the Georgia labor claim hearing is continued. 13 workers claimed that they were not given the amount of work promised and filed claims for damages.
August 21st, unions stake all in the Georgia fight. Ron Taylor article in which the Teamsters claim they came in to dispute as a defensive measure and contend field workers belong in their union as a natural extension of the organization of canning and processing plants. Describes what happens out there at the bull ring at noon every day. Teamsters pass out free soft drinks. They have their bullhorns and then nearby an NFWA walk bullhorn or sound truck, and they'll indulge in insults and name calling. Noise, insults, name calling boom over the area. Organizers from both sides circulate on foot, talking to workers, passing out literature. Opposition organizers come in contact. Heated arguments often follow. Eligible field workers will use white ballots, packing house workers the green ballots. The Teamsters were happy to be on the right side of the ballot, and NFWA's happy to be on the left because that's the place the reader's eye is trained to start. NFWA now has national field organizers on the job to help them. Teamsters have also brought in trained workers other parts of California. Both sides have public relations expert, battery of telephones, established headquarters. Bitter struggle during its climax, election day, August 30th. August 22nd, top national farm workers and AWOC officials are flying to Chicago to receive the AFL-CIO charter named the Merged Unions United Farm Workers Organizing Committee. Robert Edmonds and Eliseo Medina, farm workers and members of AFL-CIO, were beaten by Teamster organizers in two separate incidents. Edmonds at the Saturday night dance in the men's room. Medina in a car in the Sierra Vista Ranch. August 23rd, ACLU chapter sets fiesta to honor NFWA, Southern California. August 23rd, NFWA walk merger gets AFL-CIO okay. August 26th, Chavez, Italy, and Kircher urge Governor Ron to set up farm union elections for the other 40 struck roads. August 27th, entertainers are booked for charter fiesta at the National Guard Armory. August 28th, union bargaining election will climax 51-week grape strike. September 1st, 1966, the Georgia farm workers split union election vote, 530 field hand votes for UFROC to 331 for the Teamsters, 94 shed workers for the Teamsters, 45 for UFROC. Grammy declared that the Teamsters are not pulling out of farm worker unionizing efforts and expect to bring in a permanent staff of 20. September 2nd, UFROC is held winner at Delano with a vote of 530 to the Teamsters, 331. Connors said last night the conclusion is inescapable. UFROC has won. No reason to contest the election. Moan announced that the Teamsters have established a farm workers union as a permanent division. On September 3rd, California Council of Growers opposed the whole thing. Public market returned to indiscriminate picketing, irresponsible boycotting, three-ring circus. Both AFL and the Teamsters unions say the Georgia results will be a springboard for organizations of an estimated 80,000 farm workers in California and others throughout the country. Robert DiGiorgio is prepared at any time to enter into collective bargaining. September 4th, UFLOC sets drive Chavez off to Texas. Drake said the small number of non-union votes for no union, was the most significant aspect. This, said Jim Drake, this proves once and for all that farm workers do want a union. September 8th, Delano strike movement marks first anniversary. Today, on the first anniversary, UFLOC took on and decisively defeated the mighty Teamster Union in a bitter fight to represent the field hands of the biggest grower of them all, the Georgia Corporation. September 8th, Chavez urges strike at Texas Harvest. September 10th, the Georgia land sale could nullify grape strike victory. Vice President Sanborn said that Georgia hopes to make the ranch parcels more attractive by reducing the price. They'd like to get it disposed of, he says. September 14th, state has halted referrals of farm labor to Pirelli Minetti, ruling that a valid labor dispute exists. September 15th, the Georgia job.
From this point on, all through the rest of 67 and 68, which are finished today in Fresno, because of the battery situation, it's just fouled up the whole tape. So I've got to do it all again. September 15th to 66, the Giorgio Chavez talk Arvin vote. There's a meeting in San Francisco with Houghton, where Caesar talked about the laying the ground rules for Arvin and the Marysville ranches elections. The tentative date is October 15th. October 16th, 66, the Teamsters Union trying to force American Arbitration Service out of the Georgia Arvin Ranch representation election, limits the voters' eligibility to the current Arvin employees. This was came about as a result of a meeting on the 15th. September 18th, Pickett's grape workers police meet in Delano. That was the over the Pirelli-Minetti dispute involving Roger Wallace, when he was approached the lot where the cars were parked and claimed he was hit by one of the picket signs. He took the picket sign away and broke it. Wallace was mad because they were trying to take a picture of him. September 20th, Chavez declares boycott against Pirelli-Minetti as they signed a backdoor agreement with the Teamsters while negotiating with UFLOC. September 22nd of 66, the Georgia election cost the state $25,500. Most of it came from Brown's contingency fund. September 23rd of 66, DiGiorgio and UFLOC start to negotiate in Delano. Dolores Wirt is in charge of negotiations. The Department of Labor still has the Pirelli-Minetti ranch classified as a labor dispute. Chavez claims all 48 workers in the vineyards when the strike was called were UFLOC members and left their jobs to picket, replaced by strike breakers recruited by Teamsters. September 29th, T-Berg rules strike exists at the Mosakian Howrigan Goldberg Vineyard near Delano. October 2nd, 66, Brown gets approval of UFLOC. Caesar endorsed him, governor, not only because he made the pledge to recommend collective bargaining legislation in the next session, but because of his historic precedent-setting role in bringing about the first free and open election for farm workers in the history of agriculture in this country. October 3rd, the Georgia Union election party is stalemated. Brown's spokesman said meeting held Friday in San Francisco by Brown's special arbitrator, Houghton, failed to produce agreement on ground rules for the election at Arvin and Marysville. October 4th, current officers investigate ranch dispute. A rock was thrown through a strikebreaker's windshield. Sheriff's reported some 10 picket crews were in different locations around the Pirelli-Minetti ranch yesterday. October 6th, more officers assigned to ranch area. October 8th, no election plan gets okay of UFLOC. That's regarding the Arvin-Marysville election. October 11th, beaten Teamster's son blames a Chavez boy and his pals, five youths, including Paulie, supposed to have beaten up the Lukey boy. At shed workers join UFLOC October 15th. That's the Goldberg women. October 16th, police stand guard on picket line after man is hit. That was when Manuel Rivera was run over. October 18th, 66, Chavez seeks packing plant election. Chavez sent a wire to Governor Brown requesting that Houghton set up the election involving 80 workers. October 20th, UFLOC group led by Jean Patillier, backers picket SP terminal on Weber Avenue last night. It's an informational picket line. We're not picketing the SP, says Patillier. October 20th, great pickets moved to Exeter storage plant on the Sagan Horrigan Goldberg dispute. October 20th, court order limits packing shed pickets. Mass picketing was discontinued after the restraining order was issued. October 22nd, 66, Chavez backs plea for strike settlement vote made by Bishop Donahue, which he calls for elections at all struck ranches, and notes that the election at DiGiorgio had not settled the problem. October 27th, Teamsters pull out. Arvin Ranch vote is set for November 4th. This is after a meeting of UFLOC and Teamster Union officials with the State Conciliation Service. Ha ha ha. The Teamster Union will not appear on the ballot. Failure of the Teamsters and the UFLOC to agree on ballot procedures had blocked the election agreement for 3 months. This does not mean that the Teamsters are giving up and farm later. We have just begun to fight, says Andrade. November 5th, 66, Arvin, the Georgia Workers Pick Union. UFLOC today claimed its second victory in efforts to represent field hands. Workers at Arvin Ranch, the Georgia Corp, voted 283-199 in favor of the union as UFLOC as their bargaining agent. Field hands were bused from their jobs to the voting booths in a bus chartered by the State Conciliation Service. Georgia said, we will enter at once into negotiations or to contract with the union. November 15th, 66, Delano workers cast ballots on UFLOC tie-up. That's with Goldberg. November 16th, UFLOC wins election on representation. A total of 377 voters cast ballots today, with 285 voting for the union, 38 against it. November 29th, Chavez will ask Mexico union aid. Chavez was doing Mexico City today to ask help from Mexican union leaders. The article says there isn't much chance of any help from the Mexican labor leaders, mainly because they're already miffed, because they're annoyed at the sit-down tactics pulled at the bridges, which were taken without consulting them or giving them advance notice. They felt they'd been deliberately slighted. November 30th, DiGiorgio okays union elections for the middle of next year at two DiGiorgio Corporation farms in Yuba County. December 7th, about 50 pickets today paraded in front of Gottschalk's on the Fulton Mall in protest the sale of Delano-produced wines in the storage bottle shop, Jean Patillier. December 9th, CISC wraps idea of U.S. fund used to train labor pickets. That was because of a connection there with the California Center for Community Development, bringing up the Black Power Boys from Los Angeles. December 13th, Chavez, Mexico labor leaders plan new parley, plan to meet in January. December 13th, the Battle of Vermouth fizzled out today after a truck lugging 1,000 cases of vermouth failed again to penetrate picket lines in Los Angeles and retreated for Delano. Followed for 3 days in radio-equipped cars representing UFLOC. December 14th, 66, judge rules UFLOC must limit to pickets. That was Superior Court Judge Ralph Nutter. Yeah, he was the same attorney that represented Tony Rios in the Bloody Christmas affair. I think that was the Young Market restraining order. December 18th, Delano farm strikers have holiday party. Jim Drake said 20 tons of supplies were brought in by supporters from throughout California. It was held at the Armory. About 200 youngsters came up from Watts. December 19th, UFLOC is cited for Yule dance without permit. That was Miss Donna Childers. December 29th, 66, L.A. Market and UFLOC agree on picket limit. That was Young's Market. So Young's dropped its plan to ask for a court order restricting the number of pickets. This is January 1st, 1967. Happy New Year. Farm Worker Union struggle puts 1966 spotlight on Delano. This is a Ron Taylor story, which he recapitulates all of the outstanding events of 1966. Merger of AFL-CIO and NFWA, a bitter contest between UFOC and the Teamsters, and the Georgia and Pirelli Minetti vineyards, the recognition of farm labor unions by the Georgia, Shenley Brothers, Christian Brothers, Pirelli Minetti, growing recognition by farmers that some form of labor relations legislation is needed in agriculture. The spirit of rebellion has run headlong into protection of the status quo, and change is resulting. After winning Shenley Industries on a card check, NFWA shifted its efforts to the Georgia Sierra Vista Ranch. With outside support of the California Mike Ministry, segments of the Catholic Church's hierarchy, Chavez and NFWA gained strength, and when the merger took place, he became the established figure at the head of the strike efforts. Highlights of the year included the long march from Delano to Sacramento, Brown's refusal to meet with him there on Easter Sunday. Although this was dramatic, its significance paled in the struggle for the Georgia workers between UFOC and the Teamsters, professional organizers. Then came Houghton, and for the first time in the history of agriculture, farm workers lined up at the polls. The choice of no union, the Teamsters or UFOC. Shed workers chose the Teamsters, field hands. The larger field force chose UFOC. Subsequent election at Arvin, the Teamsters pulled out, leaving the field open to UFOC. UFOC and Georgia go into compulsory arbitration January 17th to 19th. Shenley contracts gives the workers a 5 cents an hour increase as agreed. This puts the wage range at from $1.75 to $2 an hour. So far, things have gone very well, said Shenley. They've been able to supply our labor needs as agreed. Then came the Pirelli Minetti strike and boycott against Tribune of Ruth, etc. Chavez says we have two fights, really. The fight is the strike and the boycott, the effort to win recognition. The second is the effort to build understanding and push the effort for farm labor legislation under the NLRA. The officials said that about 7,000 Mexican nationals were used in the field statewide this year, as compared with more than 100,000 2 years ago. January 9th of 67, Teamster Union will fight back at UFOC with boycott of Thrifty. This was after we'd gotten Thrifty to agree not to handle Pirelli Minetti products. January 12th, Bruce Obnick, Education Director of the Council of California Growers, claimed that Texas farmers have their California counterparts have had to fight federal money and the might of the Lord in the Delano grape strike. This refers to the backing of the church. Obnick said at least two grants from the Law on Poverty being used to educate farm workers and their children in the principles of labor organization. We find ourselves being fought with our own money and in greater quantities than we can accumulate ourselves. And he said that growers think perhaps tax exemption granted the churches should be taken away and they should be considered as a lobbying organization. January 12th, unions will try for a accord on farm workers at a meeting in Los Angeles between the Teamsters and UFOC. Sidney Korshak was there. So I'm sure the differences will be resolved. January 12th, Teamsters ready consumer boycott on Thrifty. 130,000 Southern California Teamster families will be urged not to buy. This is an effort by the Teamsters to boycott the wineries that have signed with UFOC. January 13, 67, union offices in Delano are hit by five fires, first reported by Luis Rubio. January 13th, Lodi sees UFOC's picket line at the California Wines Association warehouse here. January 16th, contract is shaped for farm union. Company spokesman said all points have been resolved between the two parties except that of wages. That was the Georgia. January 18th, Ron Taylor article, unions charge farms turn rivalry against them. Start harmony talks. This is Hugh Flock and the Teamsters. This is the first meeting between the two unions. Kircher indicated the Teamsters asked for the first meeting through a liquor industry intermediary. January 20th, 67. American Arbitration Association announced that a decision would be made in March on the issue of the contract between the Georgia Union. January 21st, 67, Chavez suggested compulsory arbitration as a way to settle a dispute between UFLOC and the Teamsters on Pirelli-Manetti. This is a letter to Pirelli-Manetti and Einar Mohn. Chavez says the losers are the workers, both unions and the Pirelli-Manetti customers, and the other firms caught between our boycott and the Teamsters' counter-boycott. January 22nd, DiGiorgio and the union remain at odds. The union asked for a minimum of $2.24 an hour. Company offered $1.40. DiGiorgio wanted to hire its own personnel and give preference to union members, while UFLOC demanded a union hall with union providing workers as needed. Successor clause. Union asked for a successor clause obligating DiGiorgio's subcontractors to recognize the union. This would apply to any buyer of any land sold by DiGiorgio. Company said this would make it more difficult to subcontract work or find a buyer. UFLOC wanted a 2-year contract. The company wanted the thing to expire in January next year. February 10th of 67, Chavez views Regan plan as Fox guarding chickens. This was Regan's plan for Labor Conciliation Service in the Department of Agriculture. February 14th, the grape workers at Christian Brothers Reedley Vineyard were slated to vote on union representation. February 15th, Chavez calls off recognition vote at Reedley Christian Brothers because of contractor putting pressure on the workers, prejudice. February 16th, Chavez threatens strike in row with Christian Brothers. They do not recognize this as Chavez will strike and impose economic sanctions. Despite words and deeds of Brother Gregory, in our presence, the harassment, coercion, intimidation of the employees qualified to vote has continued with increased vigor to this hour. February 19th, Fresno Labor Union challenges stand by Chavez and UFLOC. That was Jesse Bernard, business agent of laborers and hog carriers, said the union had sent a telegram to Christian Brothers offering to sign a labor agreement with them. February 21st, Bert Corona calls Jesse Bernard a raider. Bernard stands as nothing more than a windbag raider. February 23rd, 67, UFLOC to Georgia contract disputes go to arbitrators in San Francisco. February 24th, Christian Brothers have rejected a proposal to negotiate with the AFL-CIO Laborers Union of Fresno. March 3rd, Bakersfield tip with police nets jail term for Mrs. Dolores Padilla and a reckless driving charge, also resisting arrest by patrolman Oliver. March 4th, 67, UFLOC begins a statewide boycott of Mayfair markets. March 7th, Fresno Union withdraws from Vineyard dispute and backs Chavez. This was the AFL Laborers and Hod Carriers. March 13, 67, Napa St. Helena workers picked Chavez Union on a card check conducted by Duncan. March 23, 67, UFLOC will commemorate the 300-mile march to Sacramento by a dedication of the Future Service Center. March from Filipino Hall west and south to the property at Mettler and Garces Highway. March 26, Gubser charges use of U.S. funds for UFLOC Center. It's a title to the Delano properties held by California Center for Community Development. April 1st, San Francisco, the Teamster Joint Council 7 has warned its affiliates will withhold support from the labor activities of any AFL-CIO union aiding UFLOC. This is a counter-boycott move. April 2nd, an arbitration award was announced yesterday setting union contract terms between DiGiorgio and UFLOC. Provides a union shop, union dues checkoff, unemployment insurance for farm workers, $1.65 an hour for 67, $1.70 minimum hourly rate, 68. 67 rate is boosted by 25 cents over the prevailing rate last year. April 7th, UFLOC asked NLRA board to hold union recognition election at the Pirelli-Manetti ranches. Chavez did this because the center NLRB should be in the picture if that same organization recognizes complaints against UFLOC by a glass manufacturer in Los Angeles. April 19th, 67, UFLOC seeks Gallo Vineyards union election. Dolores Huerta said telegrams were sent to state conciliation services asking them to establish an election procedure. April 20th, Chavez joined Sutter County welfare fight when they, about 150 workers staged a protest march Tuesday from the welfare building because of the eviction of 30 families. April 22nd, Marion Moses reports union records were stolen from 102 Albany. April 25th, UFLOC says it will hire security men. Two cartridge-type bombs were exploded against the windows of the union's co-op gas station. April 28th, Chavez sees long, hot summer because workers were not guaranteed democratic procedures by state and federal government to determine union representation. He praised Gallo Winery Modesto for agreeing last week to hold representation elections. April 28, Gallo operates despite picketing by the United Farm Workers Division of the Teamsters Union, who are also picketing Franzia. May 6, 67, Washington, D.C., seven-member delegation of UFLOC, headed by Cesar Chavez, asked Congress for federal recognition of their union. Said Joe Cerda, though, we're just grape pickers and not very intelligent. We know what we want and what is best for us. May 11th, Delano, chief of police, asks opportunity to answer Chavez testimony. May 11th, Chavez charges that the Teamsters obstructing the rights of the workers at Almaden. Teamsters don't want an election. May 26th, workers in Gallo press for immediate election. May 26, 67, farm workers group opens Maryville office under Manuel Chavez. June 2nd, 67, really grape workers pick Chavez union in a card check. June 2nd, farm labor unions may be near accord after meetings in San Francisco. Brought about by a special interfaith committee headed by Rabbi Glazer, Father Boyle, and Richard Byfield of Episcopal Diocese. June 6th, 67, farm union peace parley is called off. Unions, both unions are angry because Rabbi prematurely revealed the fact that the union leaders were nearing agreement. June 9th, Senator Burns says grape worker strike in Delano has not been conducted or sponsored by communists, but is the kind of an activity that lends itself to participation by radicals and extremists. June 13th, farm labor agreement nears as union officials meet in San Francisco. June 14th, Borelli Minetti unions fail to reach accord. Negotiations will continue next week. June 28th, DiGiorgio and union reach accord on back pay, which represents a retroactive 15 cents an hour for all workers, 2,200 workers. Back pay period started August 30th of 66. Chavez, it is the first time farm workers have ever been awarded back wages, and this will show other farm workers the union can get these and other benefits. June 30th, Almaden farm workers vote for UFLOC on a card check conducted by Duncan. 200 workers presently employed. July 11th, UFLOC, Pirelli Minetti PAC negotiations fail. The three clergymen involved added they would support the boycott. They said the breakdown came July 8th when Pirelli Minetti refused to come to any kind of reasonably acceptable compromise with UFLOC. July 11th, Works invokes alien use ban in Texas strike. July 12th, Chavez says strike is Jamara election refusal alternative. Philip Fike said we did meet Monday with the union people, but only because we were invited by the state conciliation service and only out of courtesy to that state service. Chavez contends union represents Jamara workers and seeks to prove it through democratic processes, either by secret ballot or card checks. If the company refuses to meet and establish some such process, he will ask union membership for instructions. July 13th, UFLOC asks election delay at the Georgia Fruit Corporation, Marysville, because of the small number of workers employed there now. July 15th, Pirelli Minetti and unions resume settlement quest. July 17th, union gains pact with Pirelli Minetti firm. Under the new system, U-Flock will take the contract terms reached between the company and the Teamsters. July 20th, Jamara Ranch gets Chavez strike threat. Chavez said that the grower was asked to consider elections, but the union requests have been ignored. The workers want action. They're prepared for the worst. Yes, sir, we will strike each of Jamara's ranches from Wheeler Ridge to Early March. Their wines taboo to the American public. If they don't want to agree to democratic procedures before a strike, we will not give them a second chance. We won't give them two bites out of the same apple. July 20th, 67, Teamster Union, Chavez signed peace accord. Signing the pact yesterday between Cesar Chavez and William Grammy. According to this, Teamsters will retain jurisdiction over employees in canneries, creameries, frozen food processing plants, dehydrating plants, produce markets, and warehouses. Grammy said the clergy was a major factor in the agreement. July 26th of 67, Jim Drake said major chain stores throughout the nation have been contacted, asked not to buy Jamara's fresh table grapes. Said full-time staffs will be sent to major cities within the next 2 days to coordinate boycott efforts. Strike against the company is postponed until later when the harvest operations reach a peak. Drake said a rally was held Sunday in Bakersfield and attended by about 1,100 of the Jamara workers. He said about 600 of them indicated they were willing to go on strike against the Edison-based firm. August 2nd, 67, Almaden signs U-Flock Pact, $2 wage by 69. $1.80 immediately, previous $1.40. $1.90 next year, $2.69. Repaid holidays, Easter, Christmas, and 4th of July, 25 cents an hour penalty. Pay 4 hours in excess of 9 hours in a working day. 5.5 days, the normal work week. August 4th, 150 pickets were at Jamara Vineyard Corporation Holdings today. Wally Priestley, Portland, was arrested. Parking on the wrong side of the street. Not having driver's license. Chavez says his union demanding recognition, $1.90 an hour. August 8th, injunction limits union to 3 pickets per entrance. Said Jamara. Teamsters Union and AWOC earlier agreed to join in a united boycott of Jamara products. Now it's recording. See? Mac is learning to... U-Flock wins bargaining right at Gallo Winery election among, when they got a majority vote among 90 workers presently eligible to vote. August 10th, Farm Union charges illegal hiring and they picketed in front of the Federal Immigration Naturalization Service in Bakersfield, more than 100 pickets. Union charge green card workers from Mexico have been brought in to harvest the firm's table grapes, although this is forbidden by Department of Labor law. August 10th, Chavez, Jamara differ on effects of Kern farm strike. Chavez claims strikes depleted about 30-40% of Jamara's grape pickers. 300 pickets are on the lines this morning at the firm's Kern County operations. According to the injunction, pickets have to stand at least 50 feet apart. It's worse than in Texas, commented Chavez. There we could have two persons every 50 feet. Jamara says normal operations are continuing. However, Labor Relations Director Phil Fike confirmed the company has filed a $150,000 damage suit. He said the action was taken because of unlawful picketing. August 12th, Central Labor Council of New York may join U-Flock boycott of Jamara, according to Harry Van Arsdale. August 15th, Chavez charges that growers are bringing illegal aliens into this area as strike breakers. Miguel Carmona, Caratan Ranch foreman, is free on a $3,000 bond, pending a federal grand jury hearing on charges he knowingly transported and harbored 9 illegal alien entrants into this county, posing as Puerto Ricans. The union contends there's a planned operation to bring in both legal green card Mexican aliens and illegal aliens to harvest Jamara crops. The Chavez criticized the Immigration Service for its slowness investigating the reports. August 1767, baking, packing grapes is in full swing as the warm weather has brought sudden maturity to the crops. Growers say no labor shortage. Youth flock picketing at Garces Highway and Driver Roads. U.S. Border Patrol conducting an around-the-clock hunt for illegal aliens. 256 aliens picked up in the past 2 days in Kern County. August 19th, Albert Pignon, CSO National President, called for a meeting at Sinaloa Restaurant in Delano to consider accusations that chapters have not supported the efforts of youth flock. CSO was not formed to organize unions, Espinosa said, and its efforts are devoted to seeking to help all persons of Mexican-American descent with their problems. August 20, '67, Superior Court Judge Ferguson has issued a preliminary injunction prohibiting workers from using bullhorns to talk to workers at Jamar Vineyards. Also made permanent a previous temporary injunction restricting the action of pickets. August 21st of '67, green card workers protest job ban at strike-bound farms. This is under Alfred Ramirez of the American Education Service for Spanish surname citizens. August 24th, '67, judge bars eviction of 16 farm workers. That's at our property at Edison. August 24th, Delano CSO dissolves in UFLOC row. It was under threat of suspension for refusal to help UFLOC. August 29th, farm union says pickets are attacked at the Jamar Edison operation by 7 persons, 3 of them women. Pickets were treated in Kern General. They are William Taylor, Pascual Barrientes, Manuel Vieira. A group of women opposed the union. Women against Chavez met in Los Angeles with William Orozco. August 30th, 67, striking Jamara families are evicted. They were evicted in the middle of the night and had to stand outside along the roadway until 1 a.m. Then they were finally allowed to return and occupy the cabins until morning. 13 adults and 7 children said their belongings were seized and were told they could not obtain them until transportation charges were paid. Attended by Gary Bellows. September 3rd, 67, Appeal Court, 5th District Court in Fresno, overrules ban on picket bullhorns. September 5th, Bishop urges union acceptance of Bishop Donahue at the Catholic Labor Institute, presented the Father Coogan Award to Cesar Chavez for promotion of industrial peace and social justice. September 7th, Senate Fact-Finding Subcommittee on Un-American Activities today cleared the farmworker unions of any subversive influence in the conduct of the Delano grape strike. September 8th, the mothers picketed youth walk at the Jamar Vineyards Corporation ranch near Ducor, about 40 of them. Mac opened an office in Delano. September 9th, Chavez says he's working on plans to expand the boycott against Jamara Vineyards Corporation products to Hong Kong, Latin America, or Europe if necessary. September 13th, editorial. Those who glibly charged communist domination of Delano grape workers strike last year have had their reckless words crammed down their throats by the highly conservative State Senate Fact-Finding Committee. Since we could not find any evidence that communists were in the driver's seat in the Delano strike. September 23rd, UFLOC announced terms of a 3-year labor contract for field workers at Gallo. Dolores said in the agreement workers will receive a 10-cent hourly increase over the next 2 years. October 2nd of 67, Chavez says the UFLOC has signed a contract to represent the workers of Palmason. October 14th, John Schroyer announces UFLOC will picket scab grapes in New York. October 24th, representatives of 6 unions began quiet meetings in San Francisco and Los Angeles to establish ground rules for formation of a coordination of total effort through confederation or ruling council. This is the Teamsters, Longshoremen, Distillery Workers, Farm Workers, Night Auto Workers, Packing House Workers. Sought to establish multi-bargaining councils that present would present a solid front to a multifaceted corporation. October 29th, John Dunn's book, Delano, is published. November 30th, Duncan reported a tentative agreement between UFLOC and 5 growers to set up a panel of trustees to develop a health and welfare program. December 13th, Meany vows more aid to Chavez. We are with you, he said, and we are going to stay with you. the National CIO Convention. December 18th, New York pickets charge mislabeling of Jamar grapes. December 19th, Chavez says, we don't have a single champion in the state, the California state legislature, and we don't look up to the state government for help, only harassment. This was an address given at Boston, probably Harvard University. And Caesar saw Cardinal Cushing and Senator Edward Kennedy. December 20th, Cesar Chavez in New York has called for federal legislation which would allow the unionization of migrant farm workers. He led a group of picketing wholesale fruit sellers at Hunts Point Market in Bronx. December 22nd, Coloradoans donate food, money, and a bus for grape strikers in Denver. December 23rd, Rabbi Albert Lewis of the Interfaith Committee for Agriculture Reconciliation said the group called on striking farm workers and representatives of Jamara to confer under its auspices. December 28th, Chavez, Kin, other anti-poverty workers are linked to unions. That was Manuel Chavez through the California Self-Help Service Corps. He's in the position of wearing two hats. One is field worker paid by the California Self-Service Corps, and the other is Caesar's brother and co-helper. Happy New Year, everybody. January 5th, 1968, farm workers begin New York boycott tour. Major target of the journey is the Victor Joseph & Son Company in New York, an agent of Jamara. Participants will use sleeping bags and hope to find shelter. They'll be going by bus and car. 60 persons in a caravan make stops Phoenix, Albuquerque, Oklahoma City, Chicago, Cleveland. January 6th, migrant ministry three teams aid farm union. This is the worker brief story, talking about four teams made up of one Mexican-American farm worker and one Protestant member were sent into the field 13 months ago. Thrust of it is to serve the farm worker movement, to relate to the needs of the worker. Attempt by the church to expand and deepen its relation to this particular social movement. They've lost 10,000 a year from the San Joaquin Valley churches, but this was nearly matched by increased urban giving. We lost a lot of this romantic response, but this in turn is replaced by national denominations supporting our worker priest project. January 7th, boycott hits all Delano grapes. UFOC has shifted its attack from specific labels to all Delano grapes with the inauguration of its 50-member mobile boycott picket line, leaving for New York City. January 7th, Bishop Manning will meet both with growers and Chavez at separate times to learn of the grape strike from both sides of the controversy. And January 12th, Alfred Ramirez, organizer of Mothers Against Chavez, charges he's being harassed by investigators from the U.S. Department of Labor. January 22nd, 1968, 18 pickets were blocking the tracks of the SP where a shipment of grapes from Jamara property going through. They dispersed at the police request. February 4th, New York police arrest 24 Delano pickets at Hunts Point as they had been mass picketing there. February 4th, Fred Hirsch walked into a field to serve a subpoena and on Mary Rios, and she said her shoved the subpoena down the front of her sweater. And then the other employees came over and roughed up her. She was taken to the Delano Hospital. Delano pickets resumed protest in New York. These are the same ones that were arrested before. February 8th, 68, seven union groups were reported taking steps today to create an alliance that would operate in agriculture in all western states. This is the same one reported before. February 9th, UFLOC extends grape boycott to big New Jersey supplier. Victor Joseph's the latest target of a nationwide Don't Buy California Grapes campaign being waged by 50 civic, religious, and labor groups. Union organizer Fred W. Ross said the firm will not use its influence and is directly responsible for a labor dispute between farm workers and the Jamara firm. Ross asserted thousands of letters protesting the purchase of California grapes are being mailed to Joseph by groups in the metropolitan area. February 15th, Chavez says sent a telegram to Jamara urging an initial meeting to be held at the earliest date. February 16th, Chavez faces contempt case for alleged violations of court-imposed picket line regulations in connection with Jamara strike. February 25th, fasting Chavez will go to court in ambulance. At a hastily called meeting, Chavez told union members the three-year-old Elena Graves strike is nonviolent and that he is fasting to demonstrate and strengthen this fact. No union effort is worth the life of a single grower or his child, or a single farm worker or his child. He just said some union members have disagreed with his nonviolent policy, and he began his fast to counter the disagreement and to strengthen the resolve of his members. February 26, 1,000 accompany Chavez to court hearing. March 1st, a $2 million libel suit in which Lariat Leon accuses the John Birch Society of contending he's a communist has been reopened in L.A. County. March 4th, the New Jersey Industrial Union Council, the LCIO, has urged New Jersey distributor Don Joseph to support union efforts to organize farm workers. March 10th, Ron Taylor article, Cesar Chavez gaunt and weak after 25 days without food. Today will break bread with thousands of farm workers, ending his fast for nonviolence, once again showing the charismatic strength of his union movement. The battle streamers on the UFLOC's red, white, and black flag are contracts with eight corporations. Taylor gives along a complete review of the whole strike and union movement. March 11th, U.S. Senator Kennedy hailing Chavez as a great American told 4,000 cheering farm workers, you must have federal laws protecting your right to collective bargaining. We must give you the same justice other workers received 30 years ago. Chavez, 35 pounds lighter and so weak from his 25 days of fasting he couldn't walk without help, ended his long ordeal, sitting through 3 hours of religious services, speeches, and symbolic breaking of bread with Kennedy and members of UFLOC. It was all over at about 3:15. Chavez was helped to a car and amid cheers of Viva Chavez, Viva La Causa, and taken to a retreat somewhere on the coast to recoup his strength. Chavez's statement read, those who oppose us are rich and powerful. We are poor, but we have something the rich do not own, our bodies and our spirits and the justice of our cause. These are our weapons. Our lives are really all that belong to us. Only by giving our lives do we find life. I am convinced that the truest act of courage, the strongest act of manliness, is to sacrifice ourselves for others in a totally nonviolent struggle for justice. Kennedy said, I come as an American citizen to honor Cesar Chavez. I honor him for his compassion, his honesty, his truth, and his dedication. At one point, after trying to speak Spanish and read a quote from Pope Leo XII, he turned to Cesar and said, Cesar, am I destroying the Spanish language? The breaking of bread started with Holy Communion. Four priests moved first to Chavez and Kennedy, then through crowds surrounding him. Then great loaves of unsalted bread, semita, were broken and passed among the throng by Hartmeyer. Now 300 loaves of the Mexican-type bread had been baked in Fresno for the occasion. Jewish, Protestant, and Catholic clergymen took part in the Mass. During the afternoon, Schrade presented a gift of $50,000 to UFLOC as a gift from Walter Reuther and UAW. Be used to construct administration building at the UFLOC headquarters. Plano Commission hits at park barricading by UFLOC. UFLOC had originally planned to use its rally, hold its rally at its headquarters in Garces, but heavy rains prevented it. March 31st, Jerry Cohen has requested a list of jurors for the past 10 years in the Atlanta Justice Court for use in defense of Epifanio Camacho. April 11th, Superior Court Judge Steele has granted a request by Jamara Vineyards to dismiss the contempt of court action against Chavez. Philip Fike said the Jamara family is motivated in requesting the dismissal. By their conclusion, Chavez should have all possible opportunity to convince his followers that recourse to violence is wrong and acts of violence will not bring about resolution of farm labor problems. April 19th, Chavez says boycotts of all unlabeled fresh grapes will be started in Los Angeles, Boston, and Chicago. European boycotts also are being considered. April 26th, contempt trial for UFLOC is rescheduled. April 27th, Secretary Wirtz says government will have investigators at Jamara Farms Monday to determine whether green card workers are working behind picket lines. The union had planned to picket Wirtz's appearances in Los Angeles. Wirtz is in L.A. for a reception for Representative Edward Roybal. April 30th, U.S. check fails to find green card violators. May 8th, U.S. Immigration Service Associate Commissioner Noto reported there is some merit to farm labor charges growers are using illegal green card Mexican nationals as strikebreakers. We do have increased problems in this area, but we can cope with them. We are considering the use of new techniques and more manpower. Immigration official says a green card worker who goes back to or lives in Mexico cannot return to the United States to work on a farm that is under the labor dispute certification. May 10th, all Mexican green card aliens working on the 24 ranches where certified labor disputes exist will be checked by the Border Patrol to see if there are any there illegally. May 17th, leaflets referring to workers in Jamara Vineyards as traitors and pleading for a united city were distributed by members of the UFWAC in a march through West McFarland late yesterday. A priest led the march connected with that incident. May 20th, a contempt trial against UFWAC scheduled to open this morning has been continued for a third time. May 21st, union demonstration at farm home becomes noisy deal. This is in front of Jovita Medina's home, involving the farm worker picket line led by Mark Day and other workers holding signs critical of the union. March 22nd, Sheriff's Office says nearly 1,000 members in support of the UFLOC returned here last night, that's the early march, for a second demonstration outside the homes of Jamara farm employees. Prayer lines were formed in front of the workers, in front of the strikebreakers. May 21st, although it has accepted state employment service findings in the past, U.S. Department of Labor is making its own investigation of labor disputes on 24 ranches to determine if Mexican green card commuters can work there. The growers howled, claiming they were being harassed and that Secretary of Wirtz had backed down on a promise to adjust federal labor dispute classification to conform to those dictated by federal Wagner-Peiser Act. May 24th, UFLOC demonstrates again in McFarland. Spectators swelled the crowd to some 800 persons, an estimated 100 demonstrating in front of strikebreakers' homes. Led in prayer by Father Mark Day, they sang in front of the workers' houses, marched around several blocks. May 25th, Chavez plans world boycott of grapes, charges Ronald Reagan, the U.S. Immigration Service, Delano Growers, the California Arizona Lowers Labor Association of a conspiracy to break his union strike in San Joaquin Valley Farms. In retaliation, he'll start a worldwide boycott of California table grapes with segments of organized labor in Canada and Europe. There's disagreement between justice and labor departments and the federal government over the strikes. The Justice Department says the strikes are inactive and don't come under the Labor Department rules. The Labor Department says these strikes are still on. May 30th, the Sacramento delegation last night joined about 200 chanting pickets outside San Francisco Hilton Hotel in demonstration in support of the Delano grape strike. Later marched in and confronted U.S. Attorney Ramsey Clark in the midst of a speech. June 6th, Attorney Ramsey Clark has ordered a crackdown on the use of Mexican nationals on San Joaquin Valley farms. In response to protests at Chavez, he ordered California Border Patrol to step up enforcement of regulations to forbid green card holders to engage in strike breaking. He's ordered Border Patrol to carry on more comprehensive investigations of certified strike-bound farms, screen each green card holder found at such a location to pin down violations of anti-strike regulation. 3, increase its forces at the Bakersfield station to cope with problems arising from the influx of green card holders as well as aliens entering California without identification. And 4, establish better communication with Chavez's union to avoid misunderstandings. Es todito.